Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
What happens when a rapper disses one of their idols for clout? Well, the consequences range from your career becoming nothing more than a meme, and in some cases can result in someone almost losing their life. However, when it comes to complex relationships in rap, there's only a few that can rival that of Kanye West versus Drake. At the outset of his career, Drake was open about the love he had for Kanye, and even told MTV that he was the most influential people in terms of music that he has ever heard of. Thankfully, Ye seemed to see Drake's potential early on, and even directed his music video for his classic hit song, Best I Ever Had. Unfortunately, the video was labeled as misogynistic, and was eventually pulled, quickly putting them in a weird place. Still, Kanye and Drake began their relationship with a lot of respect for each other. The positive vibe continued up to Drake's debut album, Thank Me Later, where Kanye even helped out by giving Drake a hit song with Find Your Love. Considering he grew up on Ye and owed more to 808s and Heartbreak than any other project, Drake tried to keep things on good terms at first. He didn't even allow himself to feel some type of way when Kanye abruptly took him off all of the lights, where Drake would say, quote, "I can never sit here and tell you that's not one of my idols, that's not one of my favorite rappers. Whatever energy I've ever felt is irrelevant. When you ask me, what do I think of Kanye West, I'ma always have something positive to say." But this feeling wouldn't last long for Drake. As Drake's star began to skyrocket to a point that it almost rivaled Ye's, he got a little bolder and started firing shots of his own, even claiming that Jay-Z and Kanye had stolen the concept of their 2011 album Watch the Throne from himself and Lil Wayne.
"We still gotta do that album.
Yes.
Heard some other guys are coming out with an album too. There's two other guys that are coming out
together.
Two other rappers. I don't know where they got that idea, but
see how that goes. The older guys.
Oh, I didn't say that. They look young to me. in their movement."
From Drake claiming that he had a bigger pool than Ye on Summer 16, to Ye responding back by saying he has three pools, Kanye also accused him of using payola to unfairly promote his song For Free with DJ Khaled all over the radio.
"Is it just me, or did you hear that song so many times? You seem to want to pay me free. I love Drake, I love Khaled, but they set that song up, bro."
Despite their differences, it seemed like Kanye and Drake were still maintaining a shaky peace between them, mainly because it was beneficial for their business and making money. At one point, a mysterious billboard emerged in August of 2016, which read, "Calabasas is the new Abu Dhabi," and people thought this was an announcement of a collaboration album between them. But sadly, all hopes that they would ever drop this project would be destroyed when Kanye West started to take advantage of how much Drake wanted to work with him, and ended up using it in a way that wasn't good for the Toronto artist. After a phone conversation about their music, Kanye told Drake that he wanted to be the Quincy Jones to his
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Michael Jackson, and got him to fly out to Wyoming. When he was there, he gave him a beat that was supposed to go on Drizzy's 2018 album, Scorpion. But soon, Ye would sabotage him and Drake's relationship when he decided to scoop-de-whoop all over the track that he named Lift Yourself.
"Whoop-de-scoop, scoop-de-de-whoop, whoop-de-scoop-de-poop."
And Drake later explained the full story on the Rap Radar podcast.
"Played me
like this.
He played you a beat, right?
He played me Lift Yourself, and he was like, yo, you can have this if you want. And I was hype. I started writing to it, and then he was like, yo, you gotta come to Wyoming. Lift Yourself comes out with him just talking nonsense. This guy's trolling me. Yeah, he's trolling. Oh, this was like a manipulative, like, I wanna break you thing. So I said, all right, I'm gonna go back to distancing myself again. I know what this is.
Despite the situation, Kanye West still accused Drake of betraying him, seeing Drake's actions as a form of revenge.
You know, Drake is a person who loves Kanye West, loves everything I ever did. You're supposed to be protective of that person at all costs and make sure, like, bro, are you good? You know what I'm saying? It's like not about being selfish, like, oh, I wanted to be on the Lift Yourself beat and I wasn't on it, so now I'm mad at you, so now I'm sending, you know, purple demon emoji. I don't play like that. We don't play like that. You know what I'm saying? I got love for everybody, but I don't play like that.
From there, it was all-out war. Drake would go on to diss Ye on the Duppy freestyle, before later believing that it was Kanye who told Pusha T about his son, and therefore made the infamous Story of Adidon diss, where Pusha revealed Drizzy had a kid, possible in the first place. That summer, Drake released In My Feelings, but it was Kanye who was left enraged by it. And during an infamous rant that he delivered on Instagram, he called out Drake for name-dropping a woman by the name of Kiki in the song's hook, which he felt was an allusion to having sex with his ex-wife Kim Kardashian.
That don't sit well with my spirit. You know, if I had a girlfriend from Chicago, her name was Renita, and then you was married to Rihanna, I wouldn't make no song called Riri.
Kanye thought that Drake not liking him was just a normal thing in the competitive world of hip-hop. And during an interview with Zane Lowe, he also said that he wasn't really paying attention to Drake anymore.
What other rapper do you think?
Drake lives four blocks down the street.
Got it.
Yeah, I go to Drake's house. Just I walk over there with no security, leave my phone number. Here's my cell. But I'm not trying to ring the doorbell and say, you gotta come out. Now he might be busy. He got a studio in there. You know, you're just gonna think that Drake is recording at all times and stuff like that. He probably recorded. There's a lineage of Jay to Ye to Drake. You know, this person is your idol. Then you get to know him. Then you be friends. Then you turn to frenemies. Then you turn to enemies. And then you gotta bring back the positive energy. Now, I think more about Bernard Arnault than I think about Drake, because he might have thought he got culture by taking Virgil, but it's like, no.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Oh, now you're having to pilfer from my territory. They did me a favor, but I tell you what, now Bernard knows my new Drake.
Well, I'm an ordained minister. If he want me to, like, when he finally get married, I would show up like, Aubrey, when it had ups and downs.
This shows that Kanye believed their issues were just part of the music business and that he was trying to move on from their feud. But despite these comments and Ye making a left turn into religious music, the shade just kept coming. When Drake would leak one of Ye's songs like he did with Donda's Life of the Party, Kanye would respond by straight up leaking Drake's address. With Drake responding in a now viral clip of him just laughing. Then, after a brief moment where Drake's OG Jay Prince got them on good terms again for the Free Larry Hoover concert in Los Angeles, Drake would then decide to post album art for his next single, Search and Rescue, which looked alarmingly like Kim Kardashian, and even sampled her voice on the track.
I didn't come this far just to come this far and not be happy.
Now, even with Ye basically fighting on all fronts due to turning the public against him over his anti-Semitism and also his net worth plummeting like crazy, Drake still can't stop kicking him while he's down. Based on Her Loss's Circle Loco, even after Kanye had given him his flowers numerous times, Drake carried on the assault on For All the Dogs' 8 a.m. in Charlotte, saying, You dudes are obsessed with me, and it's not on no hetero vibe. Handle beef so quiet, you think I'm letting it slide. Next thing you know, we're tiptoeing past enemy lines. I'll probably hold a grudge against you till I'm 75. He then mocked the situation that Ye finds himself in today, and made some threats in the process. You forced a lot of fake love when real ones stood in your face. That's why you got deserted by all your friends, like pudding and cake. I got you on camera bowing down, but the footage is safe. Thank God, another USB to put in the safe. While Drake may feel justified in criticizing Kanye West, who was once his idol, a lot of people feel he's at the point where he's beating a dead horse. For Kanye and Drake, a lot of their problems derive from trying to remain peaceful while both of them were still in the prime of their careers. But the same can't be said for Dr. Dre and The Game. From the outset of their working relationship, everything should have been straightforward. Dre was the Interscope-backed label owner of Aftermath, and mastermind producer who took a chance on a young kid from Compton that was just like him. Whereas for Jaycion Taylor, aka The Game, Drake was the man he grew up listening to and was privileged to be working with. But in reality, The Game has been discussing their personal business in public since the days of his second album, The Doctor's Advocate, a project which coincided with his messy fallout from his time as a part of G-Unit. Now, that's a topic for a whole other video, but here's the—
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then, I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
The short version. After working with Dr. Dre and 50 to bring his acclaimed debut album, The Documentary, together, tensions between The Game and 50 intensified to the point that the notoriously petty leader of G-Unit fired him from the crew on air. At this point, it became all-out war, with Game launching the G-U-Not campaign and diss tracks flying back and forth, some of which were damn near 15 minutes long. In his words, Dre took 50's side and left him with no choice but to drop The Game from Aftermath and transfer his contract to another Interscope subsidiary called Geffen. Straight out the gate, Game discussed this on his sophomore album on tracks like It's Okay One Blood, where he would describe himself as the heir to the Aftermath dynasty. Game held this grudge for Dre over the years, but acknowledged that their relationship was never straightforward.
Sometimes Dre pissed me off, man. I got nothing but love for Dre, man. Like, you know, thank Dr. Dre for, you know, listening to my demo and giving me a chance, man.
At times, he flaunted their continued connection in a way that seemed like he was trying too hard. He even phoned him live on air during interviews just to prove it to people. But after being left off Dr. Dre's Super Bowl performance, while other artists like Kendrick, Snoop, Eminem, and his longtime enemy 50 Cent got to take center stage, the notoriously hot-headed Game, who has beefed with dozens of rappers over the years, started retelling their history in a disrespectful way.
Even though Dr. Dre signed me, and this is not to take away from anything that Dr. Dre is, because I told you, my number one, my favorite album is The Chronic. My favorite rap group is N.W.A. So it's like, I'm never shooting shots at Dre, I'm only telling my story. My bad if you're in it, but you're in it. Dr. Dre signed me to Aftermath, but he wasn't pressed to put my album out. I've never had a song with Dre on it and Dre been in my video. Snoop has a ton. M has a ton. I don't have none.
At this point, he went from claiming that he was Dre's protege all of those years ago to basically acting like he was never appreciated. The Game's bitterness kept mutating to the point that he was claiming he was a better rapper than Dre's true protege, Eminem, and saying wild things like this after he dropped Easy with Hit-Boy and Kanye.
Crazy that Ye did more for me in the last 2 weeks than Dre did for me my whole career.
A claim that really ruffled some feathers, it led people who were there at the time, such as G-Unit's Tony Yayo, to combat what he said.
That's why, like, no disrespect, when you see Game say, yo, Dre never did nothing for me. I remember Dre being in the studio and giving you them hits, bro. You know what I'm saying? I remember you was in a little studio, the big studio.
Left out on a limb by himself, Game later admitted to Just Blaze in an interview that after everything he said, his relationship with Dre is probably paper shredded. As time went by without a single response from Dre, the Game realized he'd taken things a little too far and began to walk back his claims about his mentor.
I was hollering at Nori them, a little inebriated, and I said some things that I meant, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to take it back. I ain't no sucker. But having Dre do anything for your project, anything in your career.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Touch any part of anything that you're doing in life is such a blessing that I shall not ever f*** it on that again. You know what I'm saying? I haven't talked to Dre since, and it don't really matter if we talk again in life.
In time to cool off, it seems like the Game had finally begun to realize why he switched up on Dre. And in addition to the clout that he got from saying outlandish things about the man who basically gave him a mainstream seal of approval in the first place, he realized that the whole Super Bowl thing affected him more than he thought and led him to act out irrationally. In fact, he claimed that it was the reason behind the Black Slim Shady, his 10-minute Eminem diss track from his 2022 album Drillmatic. As he explained, Dre was the real target. He just had to send shots at an elite MC like Eminem to get his attention.
Even on my last album with, you know, throwing shots at Eminem and beefing with Eminem, it was just me being upset with Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre can't out-rap me, so I just went at him, just because that's just how I get sometimes.
At 44 years old, saying things like, "that's just how I get sometimes," isn't really a valid excuse, and unfortunately, a lot of fans think the whole thing with Dre has been detrimental to his legacy. Where Game tried to minimize the role that Dre had played in his sound and artistic development, our next artist never backed away from being a super fan of the rapper that he found himself in conflict with. The only issue is that he took his fandom a bit too far. When Mario Judah popped out in the Game, he had a unique metal indebted sound. Tracks like Die Very Rough immediately caught people's attention, as did his hilarious interview with Drewski at Rolling Loud.
A lot of people are assuming that's gotta be racist. There's no way.
But what a lot of people don't know is that before he was an artist in his own right, Mario Judah was a Playboy Cardi stan. So when he got some fame of his own, he decided to use it to feed into one of the internet's most ongoing memes of the time, which was, when is Cardi going to drop Whole Lotta Red? This album eluded people for years, and with every leak that came out, it seemed like it got further and further away.
Alright, bro, Playboy Cardi, drop Whole Lotta Red, bro. We want it. We've been waiting 2 years. You have 1 week. If you don't drop it, I'm dropping it for you. Drop it before December 6th. This is not a game. This is not a drill. This is not a test. Drop Whole Lotta Red now, or else I will drop it for.
So when Mario had the world's attention, he decided to give his idol an ultimatum. To show that he wasn't just joking around, he unveiled a song by the name of Bit Ya, a track which had him speaking full Cardinese, and straight away, people thought it was genius. This honestly might be the best marketing strat in rap history. Mario really said, I'll do it myself. As much as this seemed like something he could capitalize on, it seemed like Mario was really just trying to force his hero's hand in a way that was maybe a little obsessive.
But no, deadass, he comes out and drops, I'm just gonna be happy, bro. Like, even before I was, like, being an artist, bro, I was one of those kids in the comment section. Like, when nobody knew me, like, just a regular fan in his comment section, like, bro, drop Whole Lotta Red. I felt like now that I had a platform, I could speak on it and try to get him to drop and, like, stick up for, like, the people who want it, you know what I'm saying?
Sure enough, the day came and went, and Mario dropped his Whole Lotta Red, leading Cardi to drop his just 18 days later. Even after realizing it, Mario said he didn't realize it would help his career. He just wanted to support the fans. But this showed he was a bigger Cardi fan than most hip-hop fans had ever seen in an artist.
I don't know, man. I mean, he never talks to his fans, and it kind of hurts us. Like, I'm speaking from a fan perspective right now, and everybody who's watching this can relate to me, and if they were in my position doing me, they'd feel bad too. Like, damn, like, I only did this, like, yeah, motherfucker, think whatever, promo, whatever. I had no idea it was promo. Like, everybody was posting, I was looking at it as they're relaying the message. I didn't know I was gonna gain 700K followers, damn near from the shit. I kind of wish it didn't go down like that. I could care less about the attention. I just wanted the man's album. I really wanted his album.
To make matters worse, when the album finally dropped, Judah was so underwhelmed with the project that it wasn't even worth it.
He drops. I was sad, bro. And leading up to the album was what? Like posting a video damn near every day, speaking about Twitter every day. Yeah, I didn't speak for like damn near 5 days, bro.
And how many times did you listen to the album in that period of
bro,
time?
Bro, I listened to it probably like 34 times.
Did you grow more fond of it?
Nah, man. I'm still upset. It's a lot of great songs that he's posted snippet-wise that his fans want, that we want, and we're not on there. I mean, New Neon was on there. We want that Cardi. We want that shit that we... Bro. To me and a lot of people, what was the problem? It sounded like someone was trying to be like Cardi, and it was just confusing. Like, who? Like, are you sure this is Cardi?
Despite leading this whole campaign, Mario didn't even get any actual acknowledgement from Cardi, and probably killed any chance he ever had of getting a feature. And by going in this new direction with his art, he couldn't move beyond being seen as just a gimmick. This pretty much stopped his progress in its tracks. Now, people look at his career as a case of wasted talent. So, in this sense, it's a prime example of when trying to get noticed by your idol goes really, really wrong. Great singer, great producer. He just needs to stop copying people and clout chasing. He could make a comeback. Mario Judah was respectable until the whole lot of red nonsense. For Mario, the path to trying to get noticed by his hero was a really risky one that led to a dead end. While for Young Thug, trying to get on Lil Wayne's radar was almost a little too successful, considering it led to pissing him off and allegedly pulled the Atlanta artist into a dark place where his idol almost lost his life. When Thugger first came into the game, it wasn't long before the Lil Wayne comparison started. From his wild, high-pitched vocals to his eccentric style, it was obvious that Lil Wayne was someone Thugger looked up to. And he even said in his early interviews that he would rather work with Weezy than Michael Jackson. After tracks like Stoner and Danny Glover really propelled him into the big leagues, Thug caught the attention of Cash Money's Birdman.
I know he a big fan of Wayne. We embrace Thug. Our little brother, he come from that same cloth, you know, from these streets. And I see opportunity where we can help him change not just his life, his family life, and make a difference in this world. And it's through music, something that I'm powerful.
At the time, what no one realized, including Thug, was that Birdman didn't want to just align Thugger and Tucci. He wanted Thug to be Wayne's replacement as things fell apart between himself and Wayne. As Thugger would later reveal, their relationship was pretty rocky from the outset, with Wayne refusing to give him any form of respect.
Man, that goddamn, the first day that nigga goddamn didn't dap me up, tried me. Snap my motherfucking feet hurt. Wrist up. Left my pimpin' hanging. He about to let them chrome hearts on. One time I dapped him up, this how he dapped me. That one, like, I'm like, hey, listen, bro, I'm never touching your hand again.
Right.
Just off of that, like, bro, right. I'm just tripping. I'm a player, and I'm a real player, and right. and I don't get no, nothing about me, no group, no nothing. Like,
right.
I'm just a real.
Right.
You inspired me.
Right.
Although things went a little south at the start, there was a time in 2014 where the two got on good terms. During a Cash Money concert, Wayne brought Thugger out on stage to perform Danny Glover. Around that same time, Thug got tighter with Birdman, dropping the Rich Gang EP alongside Baby and Thug's former best friend, Rich Homie Quan. At this time, things remained pretty amicable between the two, but it wasn't until Wayne started complaining about his deal with Cash Money and claimed that he couldn't drop the long-awaited Carter 5 days later. He'd also file a lawsuit against Cash Money Records for $51 million. Unfortunately, this holdup on Weezy's material came at a time when Thugger, who was increasingly tight with Birdman, claimed he'd be dropping the Carter 6 through 10.
Nah, I just feel like I'm that big. Cause he feel like after the Carter 5, he ain't gonna make no more music. Cause he feel like can't nobody make no music like that.
Crazy.
I'm going straight at his ass.
Considering that this was the most cherished series in Wayne's career, it was a bold move that even Tunchi's daughter took issue with. Eventually, Weezy had enough, and at a show, he made his feelings about Thug and the whole saga known.
And stop listening to songs that pose naked on their motherfucking mouth.
While it's debatable who started the whole thing, Wayne made it clear that he wasn't rocking with Thug at this point. And straight away, Thug upped the ante to the point that he was threatening his hero.
Yeah, YSL. Carter 6 coming out Friday. First show. New Orleans, Holly Grove. Meet me there, baby. Beat me there, you did.
Opting to launch the project in Wayne's literal hometown, Thug unsurprisingly got booed while at the same time, he raged online about having to change the record's name to Barter 6 after claiming that Wayne threatened to sue him. That same evening, back in Atlanta, where Thug is from, gunfire erupted as Lil Wayne was heading to his tour bus after a concert. Shortly after, it came out that the main suspect, Pee-wee Roscoe, had connections to Thug. And then, when Pee-wee was arrested, Thug started an online campaign calling for his release.
We finna start this Free Roscoe campaign, man. I need everybody in this motherfucking world to say Free Roscoe.
Later, Thug even sent a private jet when he was freed in late 2020, with Thug and Baby also being indicted with conspiracy over the crime, but never officially being charged. Despite all of this, Wayne and Thug managed to enter into an uneasy truce after Rich Gang broke up, and Birdman's grip on him was loosened. Thug even sent Wayne a heartfelt message on Twitter, saying, "I just wish you could love me in a way that I love you, big bro. You're my idol for life, and I hope you're sorry for bashing me, not knowing how much I love you." Since then, the two have had a strange dynamic, where they show signs of respect, but never really truly seem to be on the same page. Even when they teamed up for Out West from Wayne's No Ceilings 3 mixtape, it wasn't long before Thug was back vocalizing the things that annoy him about Wayne.
I haven't heard any recent or any kind of crazy shade. We sitting here now, and that's one of the first names that you bring up as an influence. Like, where is that so-called relationship?
I don't know. I don't think that like me. Maybe I think it's because he's just been with Birdman his whole life, and he's just so spoiled to the point where it's like he's been a millionaire, he's been a superstar since he was 9 years old. So he don't know nothing but his way. Mm-hmm. The first thing that don't go his way, it probably don't have nothing in the world to do with me.
As was the case for everyone else that we examined on this list, Thug learned that there's a danger to dissing your idol, because once things go left, you can never truly repair that relationship or see them in the same light ever again.